Houston's home for Texas A&M Athletics. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 being joined right now by Pat Forty, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, here with us once again. He joins us every week to talk college football. Pat, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Appreciate you. Okay, what struck you with this week's college football rankings? Anything that you liked? Anything that you disliked?
No. I mean, you know, top seven remained the same, which kind of expected that would be the case. You know, I think that you could go back and relitigate Michigan State if you want. Once that was decided last week, I didn't think that was going to change. It was interesting hearing the committee people say that, you know, that it's closer 2-3-4 than it was, that basically Oregon and Ohio State are gaining ground a little bit on Alabama, and saying that Cincinnati's pretty much kind of on an island at number five. So, you know, well, a lot more we'll know after this week, because Michigan State's going to play Ohio State, and that'll toss somebody out, and we'll see where we go from there.
You do a lot with, I think it's Dan Wetzel. I know Dan Wetzel has said, why do we even have these? Let's just do one at the end of the year. Think we need
miss out on this drama, these storylines?
I know there is
really.
It does create a lot of storylines.
No, it really does,
sure.
Actually.
Although we could all be speculating as opposed to just looking at it. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Dan on that. Just from the standpoint that what it does is everybody sits around and says, oh, the committee's a bunch of idiots. Yeah. By the end of the year, then, that opinion's kind of solidified. It's like, why did we put these people in charge when you really don't have to open yourself up to that criticism, because none of it really matters. But ESPN wants a show. They want ratings. They want to sell ads, and they do that. And I kind of don't understand the logic on their part that, well, it drives interest. Well, you know what? There's already interest. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you telling me that you guys aren't going to, on every Wednesday morning, aren't already going to be talking about college football? I think that they're basically kind of putting themselves in front of a lot of criticism they don't really need to take. But that's college football. They're not the smartest people.
No, you are right. But I think it does. You know, it's interesting for us in this position. You know, from as football fans, as people who work in the football world, and then, of course, you know, sports talk hosts, it is interesting to watch teams or watch people debate the merits of this. We had Heather Denich on yesterday, and, you know, it's always curious to see how a variety of people, Pat, work through the process of where different people should be. Is there ever a time where one team beats another team, but they end up behind them? I believe yes. A lot of people believe no.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point, that you do at least get into kind of the process of not just saying, well, I think that team's better than this team. Well, why? And what factors are actually going into this? And so from that standpoint, I guess you do pull back the curtain a little bit on what's going on. You know, and yeah, that's, I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's a very inexact science that people want to be exact. You know, everybody wants this to be error-proof, and it's hard to do, to say for sure. You know, how can you definitively say Cincinnati should be four or should be five? Michigan State should be six or should be seven? You know, I mean, there's a lot of subjectivity that goes into it. And, you know, in the end, probably whoever is fourth is going to lose by four touchdowns to Georgia. And people are going to say, oh, they never should have been in the thing. But that's just kind of how the process goes. And that's another reason I'm for a bigger playoff, because if it's such an inexact science, then let's widen the net and make sure we get all the best teams in there.
Pat Forty with us here at ESPN 97.5. What kind of chance you give Michigan State this week against Ohio State?
Not much. I think they can cover. I don't think they can win. You know, they're just not a good pass defense, and they're playing the best set of receivers in the country, and a quarterback who, if you give him time, is very good. So I just think their only chance is to win a shootout, you know, like 42-41 or something. And I'm not sure they can score that much. They can score. Kenneth Walker, I think, needs to be great and to eat clock and kind of shorten the game a little bit so that it's not just, you know, a pinball match back and forth, because I just don't think Michigan State's secondary can hold up in that situation.
You know, we're in the second to last weekend, and there's still only a couple, three games that are, you know, Utah and Oregon. And Utah's got a shot at home against Oregon for sure, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They're favored, as a matter of fact.
And Cincinnati and SMU. You know, I don't know about Alabama and Arkansas. I think that's probably going to be a boat race, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think Alabama now is close enough to the end goal. And, they are coming off of a New Mexico State game at a time of year when that's important. You get to rest some bodies and be a little bit more fresh, whereas Arkansas is coming off another SEC game.
So it looks like we've got to wait for chaos for the last weekend, the rivalry weekend, right?
Yeah, and that could happen, you know. I mean, we got the Iron Bowl, we got Michigan-Ohio State, we're going to have the Civil War, Oregon-Oregon State. There's some games that will definitely be high leverage, high interest, and probably high suspense.
I'm going to tell you, do not just completely rule out, I'm not telling you necessarily, Pat, just in a general sense, people should not just rule out Oregon State. I don't know where that game is being played this year, but that is an offensive line. They're in heavy consideration for our Joe Moore Award. I mean, they really block. They run well. I just have a hard time believing that Oregon State, Utah, that Oregon's going to get through the entire gauntlet and they're going to be fine. I don't know that I believe Oregon has that kind of team. And this could be Michigan's year. This could be Michigan's year against Ohio State.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you on, like, the end run here for Oregon is really tough. I mean, you got to play three tough line of scrimmage games in a row. And you're right. I mean, Oregon State can run the ball on just about anybody. And so that's Oregon, or Utah can run the ball. Oregon State can run the ball. Then you get Utah again. That's a lot of banging for your guys there 3 weeks in a row. And, you should have to play hard games to get to the playoff, but it might be a little bit more than they are ready for. It's going to be a real test for them. They've had a great season, but can they finish it?
Who's your Heisman right now, Pat?
I would say Kenneth Walker, Jordan Davis, Kenny Pickett, and I'll probably find a couple other people to throw in there.
Is Stroud moving in?
You just mentioned a big old nose in there as your Heisman. Jordan Davis.
I did. And I'd throw Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, the defensive end, in the mix possibly, too. We'll see if he finishes up well. But, my gosh, did he terrorize Penn State last weekend.
How about C.J. Stroud?
I love him. I don't know. I feel like he's a bit of a product of everything around him.
Very Haskins-y.
He's got three unbelievable receivers he's throwing to. He's playing behind a great line. I don't know whether I'd put him in the top three yet, but we'll see how we finish.
I kind of feel that way. You know, Dwayne Haskins had 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I just went back and looked at that season because it's feeling so reminiscent of me. The output, Haskins also had 4,800 yards passing. Stroud isn't going to end up with all those numbers.
He's got 3,000 and 30 and 5 right now.
That's what I'm saying. There's some similarities. He's not going to get to the same totals, but there is some pacing that is very, very similar to the year Haskins had. And it does make you feel like it's some of the same Oklahoma quarterback stuff that people dealt with, where you say, okay, how much of this is system and how much of this is quarterback? So I think you hit the winner. I think Kenneth Walker's the winner. And I noticed you didn't even mention Bryce Young. Bryce Young's stats look about as good as anyone's, but people don't feel like they're all in on Bryce Young. And I think it'd be amazing if Jordan Davis and Kenneth Walker And I think Kenny Pickett, I'm with you too. To me, of all the quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett is the guy that should be in Manhattan. It would be amazing, though, if one of those defensive players got there.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Like I would be happy for them and happy for all defensive players.
Do you have
players,
a vote, Pat?
I do, yeah. And okay. So, you're not supposed to reveal them. I honestly have no idea who I'm going to vote for at this point. But those are the guys I'm thinking about. And the one thing to point about Pickett is, like, he's carried that team Ohio State's Ohio State. Alabama's Alabama. Those quarterbacks have played well, but they're going to be good no matter who the quarterback is. Pittsburgh, I don't think we're talking about at all if Kenny Pickett isn't having an unbelievable season.
Yeah, and he's got an 18th. And he's just been, but unfortunately, it's Pittsburgh. Is he going to get enough?
If they had beat Miami,
get enough looks?
They wouldn't have lost to Miami. I think right now he'd be the. I think he would be your favorite in the. He had 500 yards and three touchdowns in that game. If he would have come back and beaten Miami, I think right now Kenny Pickett would be the guy who'd be the favorite. But he lost.
Yeah, and that's the thing is the award tends to be heavily tilted as far as team success, which I'm okay with because. It's such a team game that I think team success kind of almost has to factor into it.
Yeah, and Pat 40, by the way, is brought to you by the Rotary Lombardi Awards, which are right here, which is lineman or linebacker of the year. And you mentioned a couple of guys that should be here, and there's probably a couple of Texas A&M linemen that could be here as well. Texas A&M, what'd you think of that game against Ole Miss, Pat?
Super disappointing. They just laid an egg. I mean, like, they were totally dominated in the first half, lucky to only be down 15-0. I had really started to come around to how good they were, and then, I mean, they just, they backed up big time. Ole Miss is a quality opponent, but I did not expect that out of Texas A&M. So that was very disappointing. They've had some high notes. They've played, obviously beat Alabama and had some other great games, but boy. What they did them against them and against Mississippi State and Arkansas, you scratch your head and wonder how that team could beat Alabama and then play those games.
Has Jimbo convinced you yet that he's not going to LSU?
I'm convinced now, but I bet he hasn't had the final offer yet from LSU. I would think that they're waiting and they're going to say, okay, here's the mansion, here's everything we can give you. Tell us no one more time, and he may well say no one more time, but I my sense is that LSU isn't ready to abandon pursuit yet.
I just think he's convinced us. I mean, he is so emphatic. If he went to LSU now, after all the stuff that he has said, that would look terrible. Who's Lane Kiffin make a case that he should maybe be a guy at the front runner for that job?
Well, I think that certainly he's going to be on the list. My sense is that if Florida opens, Lane would rather have Florida. We'll see if Florida opens.
What a pay! What's the buyout on that one, Pat? They just gave a deal to Dan Mullen. What's the buyout?
Yeah, the buyout is 12, and it's 12 this year or 12 next year. So if you want to do it, you don't save money by waiting another year.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I wonder if they'd split it 6-6.
Pat, have you ever seen a team celebrate a win over Samford like that?
No, that was embarrassing. I mean, like, the way they played was embarrassing, and the way they celebrated was more embarrassing. And Dan Mullen's post-game press conference trying to say it was a great win was the most embarrassing. I was like, come on, man.
I wish I would have seen a locker room video of Dan Mullen dancing with the players with Mike Leach.
I tweeted, I said, this can't be today. It can't. There's no way that this is today.
Well, that just lets you know.
I just thought it was an old video. There's no way they were celebrating like that over
Samford. Oh, you mean back in the day when Samford was the powerhouse? When they beat Samford or Stetson or HBU? What year could it have been where Florida beating Samford was a celebration?
No, I thought it was a celebration of a win over Alabama.
Galen Hall's Florida team?
No, over Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you a different team. I got you.
The giveaway is he's wearing the olive drab shirt that you only wear during the military week.
Yeah, that's how you know.
Oh,
so you know what's going
on. Legit. He was really dancing because they beat Samford 70-52.
And how about, Pat, that Chris Conte already is giving support, putting out a newsletter of support for Steve Sarkisian. That, 10 games into your tenure, that is a horrible, horrible sign.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, losing to Kansas at home is why that is when you get to that point where people are giving up 10 games into a guy's tenure. No, it's bad. It's really bad. And I was not a great fan of the hire. It was a very expensive move, and you're going to do all that to get Steve Sarkisian? Okay, it better work. And so far it's not working. And if they're in this spot next year, Sark's gone.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, that if would you be, lose to Kansas again.
Well, that would be quicker than, I mean, that'd be quicker than Charlie Strong or Tom Herman if Sark, but I mean, come on, this is a five-game losing streak, a loss to Kansas, down 21 in the first half to Kansas. It wasn't the first half, right, were they down 21 in the third quarter? Yeah. It was first half.
35-14.
And, you know, to happen what happened with the players are on the bus and Bo Davis is yelling at him, like, it's been a disaster. But, you know, you mentioned getting back to what John said, the Lane Kiffin thing, this is now four coaching jobs, four head coaching jobs that he's been in over, what, the last decade, around the last decade. That's not a great look to me. I don't know that if you're LSU, who your best successes have been with Nick Saban and then with Les Miles, who were there for a little while, you know, I mean, Nick relatively so. I think you'd rather have a guy that you know, that you feel like has staying power. I don't know that I've ever gotten that from Lane Kiffin, a head coach with staying power, Lane Kiffin. That doesn't feel right.
No, I mean, I agree with you guys that Lane Kiffin has always been more smoke than fire, more snake oil than substance, you know, the whole thing. It's always been that way. And if you choose to believe Lane Kiffin, that's on you. You know, if you really think that Lane Kiffin is all in with whoever you are, good luck. But he's the hot name. He's done well at Ole Miss, and he's going to parlay it. I think, you know, whatever. I will be interested to see if he's at another job. I'll go back and read the transcript from when he was introduced at Ole Miss, and he says how he wants to be there for, you know, 10 years or whatever, because I didn't believe it then, and I sure don't believe it now.
He sure is in a good spot with Matt Corral, that's for sure. So that helps. Pat 40 with us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pat, great talking to you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
All right. Pat 40 here. He was a little bit early today. He's got some stuff to do at the bottom of the hour, so we had him a little bit early today. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here. Let's get back to Verlander. What do you think about the Justin Verlander signing? Give us a call. We want to hear what you think. 713-780-3776. If you're just getting in your car, you're like, these guys aren't talking about Verlander. We've been talking plenty about Verlander. We want to get back to it, so let's go. Right now, though, I want to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf and the greatness that is John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf will give you more for your vehicle. That's what he does. He says a lot of crazy things. He's nuts. He has a radio show here on the weekends. It's actually the longest-running show on ESPN 97.5. And it is, it's different. It's different than anything else you'll hear. He says stuff that you're like, I didn't know you could say that still. But he does. He says it. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a rat's ass what you think about what he says. And that's what you love about a John Clay Wolf. You also love about John Clay Wolf is that he's going to give you more for your car, because that's what John Clay Wolf does every single day. If you're selling your car and you don't go to John Clay Wolf, because he says this, okay, you sell the CarMax? If I can't beat that deal, I'll send you $100. You're going to sell it to your dealership? If I can't beat that deal, I'll send you $100. Okay? So John Clay Wolf will give you the most for your car. Why would you not go with John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com?
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, the guy doesn't have anything. Shoes. All of our shoes. 713-780-3776. What do you think of Justin Verlander signing?
I like it. I'm a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yep, I'm going to go and give a thumbs up to Justin Verlander signing.
25 this year with 25 as a player option for the following year, which most likely he cashes in. Now, if Justin Verlander has another Hall of Fame, I mean,
it kind of sucks.
Does a young type year?
Kind of sucks where if he's not good, he's going to cost you.
Yeah.
If he is good, you might lose him.
You might lose
him. I mean, it kind of sucks, that player option, now that I think about it. Yeah. Although I would say $25 million. You know what? Here's what I'm surprised it got done so quick. I'm not super surprised. Like, I am surprised that he came back and was an Astro. $25 million was on the high end. I thought it would be somewhere between 22 and 25 is what we talked about. But I thought for sure there would be a team who'd be willing to give him 3 years. Either his agent has dug around and can't find it with the teams, because I'm also guessing that Justin Verlander has a very finite amount of teams that he's willing to play for. So it wouldn't be that hard to go to the Dodgers, the Tigers, the Yankees, you know, whoever those teams would be, and say, hey, you know, Justin, you would have gone to them already before the free agency process. This is something you're already working on.
Yeah.
And he probably knew right away, you know, there was probably – the Dodgers are letting go of Kershaw because they basically want to go in – well, he can come back, but they want to go in a little younger pitching direction. So that would make sense that they wouldn't go there. But I thought the Yankees could be legitimate players. I thought they would be the favorites for Verlander.
I did too.
I think it's a mistake for them not to, but maybe JV didn't want to play for him.
Maybe. Maybe he didn't want to cut his hair, his beard. He really doesn't
have. He doesn't have a beard, but he has scruff.
Yeah.
Like, would they make him trim
scruff.
It up?
No, you can have scruff. Thurman Thompson. Thurman.
Could you, all right, yours is trimmed down a little bit right now. Could you, you couldn't have that because it connects Thompson. To the side. You couldn't have what you have.
Thurman Munson used to have a lot of scruff. Remember him back in the day before he had his, before he died?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he used to have a lot. He had a heavy scruff. I couldn't play for the Yankees.
You couldn't play for the Yankees.
No, and I wouldn't want to. Screw them.
No.
Yeah.
But you, I don't think they would let you because you're a beard guy.
No, but I've got integrity. You know I'm not going to play like for a team I don't like.
You know who you look like a little bit right now? Who? Sonny from my wife watches this. General Hospital. You look like Sonny. This guy named Sonny. Stephen A. Smith ends up on this. He's like a private detective. My wife's wife, I'm like, what is Stephen A. Smith doing on this?
Stephen A. Smith is
on a soap opera. Oh, yeah, he's a recurring character. I'm like, what's he doing on this? The guy already does like 10 radio shows and 20 TV shows.
Yeah.
How's he have time to?
Oh, next.
I can't believe, but when we're looking at this, there's a very good opportunity that the man who is actually your father is the man you're in bed with. Like, oh, no, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And you know who it is? Michael Strahan. Who needs another television gig?
Yeah, because Michael Strahan and also Nate Burleson. Can Nate Burleson get on TV more?
My God.
Nate's good, though.
All right.
Strahan's pretty good, too, actually.
Justin Verlander, 713-780-3776. Frank, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, bro?
Listening. Appreciate you guys. You're getting going in the morning. Hey, this Verlander thing, I think it's a good signing because he's a good pitcher, and as long as he's not injured, we know what he's going to give us. The issue that I think that people are overlooking is, how's he going to win back that clubhouse? That's a thing. I think that's a big thing. We got a lot of young guys. If he would have been there coddling them, helping them, this would have been immensely. I would have been good with them paying him 30. But 25 is in the higher end, like you just said. And then he's got to win back the clubhouse. I'll shut up and listen.
You know, I don't think it's as big a deal, you know, and I'm the one that put it out there. And I really don't. I think, you know what, he shows up day one, and they're like, we got Justin Verlander, dude. We got a chance to win a World Series. I really don't, you know, and I think Justin probably got to address it with the clubhouse. Got to say, look, you know what? I probably should have been here. I apologize. I wasn't here for you guys, but I'm here now, you know, and you know what? Those guys are going to be like, whatever. We're cool with you, Justin. Just keep going out there. Throw, you know what? Get us 15, 20 wins, and we're fine.
Was that it?
How many wins
just
do you
15
think?
15 or 20?
15 to 20 wins.
Oh, I'll bet you the Vegas over-under on him is probably like, these are always a lot lower than you think. I bet, and coming off an arm injury, I bet it's something closer to 13. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. But if I said, get us 15 to 20 wins, and we're fine with you.
If he got 14 wins, that'd be a pretty good.
Okay.
Because remember now, Justin may not pitch enough to get wins, too, sometime if the pitch count gets high. We've seen that happen with McCullers and Fromm.
He ain't throwing less than five. He never throws less than five.
They're going to watch pitch count. It's not going to be about innings as much as pitches, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't. God bless McCullers. I love McCullers, but McCullers' pitch count can get up about 80 in 4.5 innings, in 4 2/3. Verlander, that ain't Verlander. Verlander will throw five.
But they are going to watch his.
Well, here's the thing, though.
His pitch count.
How many times is he going to be tied in the fifth inning?
So in the first. In his first 10 games of the year, first third of the season, I could see them being a little lower on the pitch count.
Oh, absolutely.
80-something pitches.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not crazy for you to get into like 4 1/3 and you're at your 82nd pitch. That's not crazy.
It'll be awfully tough for Dusty to walk out there. He's 4 1/3 and he's leading. Say, okay, give me the ball. And Verlander will go, get back in the dugout. get back in the
dugout. Better not say that to my manager.
Yeah, no.
You better not say that to Papa.
Papa.
Because let me tell you what Papa's toothpick is. It's not just stuff to get stuff out of your teeth. It's also a stabbing mechanism.
In your eye?
Hey, Justin, you want me to go back?
Neck with a toothpick? That won't do anything.
Justin, you want me to stab in the eyeball?
Yeah.
That will hurt.
That will really hurt.
If you say, oh, you want me to go back in the dugout? Okay, I will. No, hey, do me a favor. I want to tell you something real quick. Bah! And it's right from the mouth. Right. And boom.
Right.
Eye stab. But then that becomes counterproductive because there's no way that Verlander is going to be able to pitch the next outing. And then you're wasting Crane's money again. And then Pawpaw gets fired. And then we got one of those 20-year-old pitching coaches that we have now because Strom's gone.
Trust me. You've seen Pawpaw. Pawpaw don't. He don't take Justin Verlander out, okay? He asks Justin, what do you want to do, my friend? Because I want to make you happy. That's what managers are afraid of, the Verlanders and the Coles and the Scherzers, all right?
Look at you. You're like Sonny Corinthos from General Hospital.
I guess.
He's an Italian guy. He's a mafia guy. But he's a good mafia guy.
Oh, he's the good guy.
Yeah, he's like the mafia guy with the heart of gold.
Oh, the good kind.
I'll just tell you this. I finish Narcos Mexico. I'm just going to, right in the middle, I'm like, you know, why am I cheering so hard for Amado? You cheer for the drug dealers now. Yeah. At times you cheered for Walter White in Breaking Bad. Like, come on, Walt, get away. meth producer who's killed multiple people. And wait, am I cheering for a meth dealer or a meth maker?
I got to like him a little. He's the good kind.
Yeah. And like Amado, I'm like, come on, get away from the police. Of course, the Mexican army and police weren't exactly the good guys.
Like the Ku Klux Klan guy in Larry David.
Like when Derry goes, a good guy. Yes, for a Klan guy, he's not bad. He's okay for a Klansman, is what he said.
827, like, ESPN 97.5. Look, we're going to Cobos Q tomorrow. He's got more giveaways other than the 10. But here's the deal. After Cobos Q, we go to U of H game. Take the train to the U of H game. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to have a big time had by all at the U of H game. Tickets start at just $20. I don't have to tell you what's on the line here. You know, this is the best football team that we have in this city. And that's not even arguable. It's the best value you're going to get. Yeah, you could probably get cheap Texans tickets right now. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that instead of go see a good football team? The good football team in this city is the Houston Cougars. And Friday night, that's tomorrow night, they're going to be playing Memphis at 8 o'clock at TDECU Stadium. We want you there. We want it loud. We want you to wear red. We're going to have a big time. It's going to be a big time had by all. Support your team. This team is a great team playing in the AAC championship game on December 4th, but they got to win this game. Get there. UHCougars.com/tickets. UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS.
ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Still ahead, Stevie D and Eric Sandler and Five Star going to give us winners at 9:30. Cobos Q tomorrow, 2012 Rusk. We want you to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have breakfast, you know, birria tacos, and we'll have fries. And
you better just check with him about what we're having food wise.
Well, I'm sure he's going to have his birria tacos.
I do know this: he's giving away the first 10 people who ask for a Coors Light are going to get one. Right,
right.
He's giving away his for the first 10 people. He's giving away free EAD hats, but the flame is the O, so it's supposed to be like Edo, but it's also a play on the old EAD. And I wear that hat all the time. I don't have it today, but if you've seen it on Twitch.
That's a gel thing. That's ugly.
No, it's a good hat.
No, I know it's ugly to say that, though, EAD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's giving away 10, a full menu tomorrow. He's giving away 10 hats tomorrow for the first 10 people that, or he's doing, I don't know. I don't know if you should do the first 10. You should just give 10 total away. Nah, I don't want to do a drawing. Let's just give it first 10. Get it out of the way. Good hats, though. I've worn a lot of his hats. The black, I got a black one, a gray one, a red one, and now the EAD hat, which is the new one. So, yeah, it's going to be a big party out there tomorrow. 2012 Rusk, I'm really looking forward to it, and should be a lot of fun. So we got into this briefly before we got to Pat 40. The big news is Justin Verlander has re-signed with the Houston Astros, which I didn't see coming. I thought it would be great if they could get him because that's the kind of element they needed with their rotation. So to, I guess it's the same kind of feeling I had when Uncle Mike re-signed. I thought Uncle Mike was gone. And when he re-signed, it's like, holy crap, Michael Brantley's back. Now it's, holy crap, Justin Verlander's back. So really good stuff there. We also talked about a couple of announcers in the Big 12 for Texas Tech. Their names are Brian Jensen, and the color analyst is John Harris, but not that John Harris.
No, not our John.
And they were very critical of officials. We heard this for the first time last hour and was pretty surprised. Now, you've seen people respond on Twitter. You've been around friends, or maybe you're the person who you and your buddies are talking about how bad refs are, and you make comments. When you hear this, you're going to recognize the fact that it sounds like just two guys watching a game on their couch ragging on refereeing, only these guys work for a Big 12 team, and they go after Commissioner Bob Boulsby. They say that basically the league does not want Texas Tech to beat Iowa State. They say, league just doesn't want Iowa State to lose. They go after the officials on multiple occasions, and it led to, what, a one-game suspension, I guess? Is that fine?
Yeah, they're just going to be suspended this week, and then they get to ref in the last game. Tech plays Texas in the last week, right? They get to announce in the last week. So here they are, the two of them. If you haven't heard this, here's the two of them just destroying the referees during the game.
On a broadcast.
I'll say it right now. The Big 12 does not want Iowa State to lose this game.
Yeah, Bob Boulsby, you need to answer to this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen some horrendous calls today. This is ridiculous.
The inconsistency of this referee crew in favor of Iowa State today, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Unbelievable. Well, maybe the referee has a concussion and he needs to get a trainer. Because he's acted like it this whole game.
Wow. This has been a remarkable day and a remarkably horrible day of officiating by this crew.
Yeah, the Big 12 should be embarrassed. The Big 12 should be embarrassed with this crew. And you know, we've only pointed out two guys. I'm going to read them all to you. Michael Vanderveld, the referee. The umpire, Robert Richeson. John Braun, the head linesman. The line judge, Darren Decker. Robert Asel, the field judge. Side judge, Fulton Carson. Brian Ernest, the back judge. The center judge, Chris Talent. And Gene Semko, the replay official. That is your officiating crew, people. Tech fans, you need to get on your feet. You need to scream. You need to do what is the positive thing for a fan to do and support your team down there. Because it's not your team doing this. It's the guys in stripes. First and goal from the 9 now for Iowa State. Tech up by 10. 7:25 left to play. Regulation. And the Wildcat, and it's Breece Hall, who's going to get caught from behind by Devin Drew. No gain on the play. It'll be second down and goal from the 9. And the Red Raiders celebrate a little bit. They better be careful because these officials will throw a flag if they sneeze.
Wow. Now, that was rough. Now, while we were talking to Pat 40, Aaron was able to get a hold of Brian Jensen, who's the play-by-play guy. So here is Brian Jensen, who has been suspended for this next game. Here's Brian Jensen, play-by-play guy, on a mobile. Brian Jensen on a mobile here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brian Jensen on a mobile, how you doing?
Gentlemen, it's good to be with you here, taking a short break from calling Texas Tech football. But it was, as you guys know, it was a great ending to a great game as the Red Raiders won with a 62-yard field goal, despite the officials' best effort to jump up and I don't know if you saw this or not, and I might as well say it, we're already suspended. They had two officials. One got on top of the other one's shoulders. Like, remember when you used to have chicken fighting in your swimming pool, your local swimming pool there at the country club?
Yeah.
And you do chicken fighting, and one guy would get on top of the other guy's shoulders, and that's what they did. They stacked them one on top of the other, and there's an official, if you look, they're trying to bat down the kick. Like, the arm goes above the crossbar, and they try to hit the kick, but to no avail. And the good guys, the Red Raiders, were able to get a win despite the best intentions of the Big 12 to try to make that an Iowa State win.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, you don't see referees, chicken fighting, trying to block field goals. But that happened. And you guys were talking about the integrity. You're going after Bob Bowlesby. You're talking about the integrity of the referees. Any regrets on this thing?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked that. We want to make sure that we put this out there. I think I speak for John as well. We do have a lot of regrets. And the first one is that we never got Bowlesby's address out there. It's 276 Lincoln Lane. And if you head by, it's a gated community, but what you can do is create a diversion outside of the, because the gates are typically open. There's just a security guard standing there. So if you can create a diversion, like set a car on fire, or, something like that, that will cause them to leave the gate area, their guard shack, you can get in on foot, into Bob Bowlesby's house. So Lincoln Lane is once again, but make sure you create a diversion, bring some type of incendiary devices or something that can cause a fire. And then that's one of the best ways to bring the guard shack, bring them out. And then on foot, you can go in there and just, make it known that you won't stand for what they tried to do to Texas Tech. So to your point, yeah, a lot of, we had some names. I was going to call one of the, Terry Rivers, one of the side judges. I meant to call him a chode. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I never got that blast off. So I regret that also. Didn't call a guy a chode. So I do. Yeah, we do have some regrets. Absolutely.
We got Brian Jenkins, who is
dork.
On a mobile.
I wanted to call one of them a dork, and the game gets going so fast, you just get into a flow and you forget to say these things.
Right. Do you think it's a little much? Do you really think that the league was so hell-bent on Iowa State? I mean, that just doesn't seem like Iowa State is going to bring them that much money. Is the league that hell-bent on Iowa State with the win here?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but Texas doesn't really draw anything anymore. So, you got to look for, you got Oklahoma, I guess. It's still a team that people like. But Iowa State's those are the pretty boys of the league. I don't know that you're paying attention to Big 12 football. When I think of a sexy program, a really sexy Big 12 program, you think Iowa State. Mm. And it's a great college town. There's tons of stuff to do there, very metropolitan. And it makes sense that the Big 12 would say, hey, we're going to take care of one of our bell cow universities here, and we're going to make sure that we keep pushing our sexiest teams like our Iowa State. Mm. So, I think you really need to step back and take a look at what was in this for the Big 12. If they get Iowa State to win there, they could be in the Texas Bowl, or they could be in, that mayonnaise bowl that they started up.
Yeah.
And so when you have, a big, sexy program like an Iowa State in that mayonnaise bowl, that's a lot of eyes on your football team from your program. So, they don't want Texas Tech there. That's fine. We called it like we saw it.
So your week next this weekend, this refereeing crew is going to work again. Maybe you could go toilet paper their house or egg their house or something. What are you going to do?
That's not a bad idea. But we're going to steer clear of that. We want to keep calling, keep catching a paycheck. But we are just going to be our local. We've got a little Buffalo Wild Wings here. It's kind of a 4.5 star on Yelp here in the Lubbock area. So
fine dining.
One of the higher rated restaurants we have besides the 40 steakhouses. And
we're pretty excited about getting there. They've got a table reserved for me and John, and we're gonna basically call the game from there. So if you Red Raiders want to come out to the 4.5 Yelp rated Buffalo Wild Wings and listen to us speak the truth without persecution, man, come on out, because we're going to tell you exactly what the refs are doing to screw the Red Raiders this week.
Well, you must be heroes in Lubbock right now. You too. You
guys. We are, and we were. Yeah, yeah, we were. We are. It's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think this is the first time that we've called out the shenanigans of the Big 12 and the refereeing crew? Do we sound like, when you listen, does it sound like guys who are just now talking bad about refereeing?
No. It seems
we've
to me.
We've been doing this for a long time. I can't believe they caught us.
Yeah,
well, why is it a problem now?
Well, because you called out Bob Bowlesby by name, probably.
Well, but I didn't give his address.
No, that's true. No, you didn't do that. That was nice. But you just did now. You just did now.
214-637-4211. Just go ahead and call Bowlesby now. Text them. Send them, you know, send them pictures of yourself or whatnot. And you know, let's just let them know that we're not putting up with this in the Big 12. Keep it fair.
Yeah, let's keep it fair. That's Brian Jenkins, the on a mobile, right?
Jensen,
here.
Yep.
Yeah, Jensen, Jenkins, whatever.
Yep.
Brian Jensen on a mobile right here on ESPN.
Disrespect the tech never stops.
97.5. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it,
Brian.
All right, there it is. There's Brian Jensen on a mobile, I want to say on a mobile. Right now I'm talking about Chastain Ford and my people over at Chastain Ford and the greatness that is. I'm going over there, as a matter of fact, today, and I'm going to hang a little bit over there. They're doing me a solid. And listen, I there are no nicer people in this business. I swear. And listen, there can be, in the car industry, there actually can be. I know that you get the used car lot salesman and all of that. There's none of that going on at Chastain Ford. They honestly want to get you the best car that they can possibly get you, that Ford product, that new or used Ford product, at the best price that they can get it for you. Because here's the deal, is you're going to come back. I got payments that I'm not choking on. I've got payments that I've got a car that I can drive. I got a car with everything that I want in it, as opposed to what they want to give me. They're not going to ever add anything on. They're try and gouge you out of as much money as they can possibly get. So I'm going to want to go back there. That's their philosophy. And you know, they do more return business. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable the business that they do in return business. And if you're looking for that kind of dealership, I got them for you. It's at ChastainFord.com, or you get to 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
850 ESPN 97.5.
News of the weird. Here we go.
No. That's like 9:50, I think.
Oh.
You want to cut the show an hour short? Maybe we can get Charlie to come in an hour early.
Oh.
Can't even get Charlie to come in on his days he's supposed to work, let alone an hour early. I don't know why I thought Yimi Garcia and Kendall Graveman are both free agents. Maton is under team control. Why? Well, I guess maybe they didn't believe in Maton in Cleveland, but that could turn out to be an unbelievably, it sure was a great deal for the Astros in the postseason.
If he pitches like that, that Phil Maton is going to be a great bargain for the
Holy
Astros.
Crap. Now, and he may gain a lot of confidence from the way he pitched in the postseason, and that may carry over to the regular season. He wasn't great in the regular season, and I heard some people talking about, well, it was the trade, it wasn't a good trade because Miles Straw had himself a better year than the Astros center fielders did, and Maton wasn't all that good. Well, turned out it was a great deal. Because, you know, Miles Straw was only minimally better than the outfielders that the Astros had, the center fielders, and Maton was great in the postseason. Great in the postseason. So, you know what? That's gonna that got to give James Click a lot of credit on that trade because he won that deal. Yimi was great in the postseason as well. Not so much in the regular season, but you got there. And what was more important was the postseason, right? I got a lot of confidence. If I don't know that Yimi comes back, we'll see. I don't know that Graveman comes back. Graveman kind of wore out at the end, at the very end. He's 30. Yimi's 31. I don't know who he brings back, but he's going to have to bring back. He's got to get some relief pitching in here. They spent money on Verlander yesterday. You're going to have to focus on that bullpen. And what are they going to do at shortstop? I have a feeling Jeremy Peña is going to be your starting shortstop.
No, I don't either. I don't think he's ready, so it's going to come from another team. Shortstop will come from another team.
Alexis Diaz?
And then, does he feel like an everyday shortstop? No, I think you got to.
Not after Correa.
Here's the thing. In real life, I know we're spoiled, and you're not going to like me saying this, and I was fundamentally against this during old Astro seasons because their lineup was so whack, but the reality is I would rather have a really good defensive shortstop than a great hitter or even a good hitter. I know that's terrible to say, but we're in the American League, so it's not 7, 8, 9 are dead spots. It would just be 8, 9. And I think that we take for granted what Carlos Correa does defensively. And I think we would see a huge drop-off. It would be a noticeable drop-off, I should say, if you don't get a plus defender at shortstop. I think that needs to be, even more so than the bats, if you can't make do with Altuve, Brantley, Tucker, Yordan, potentially Sterling Marte. I don't know if we should just keep plugging him into the team. Starling. And then Yuli. Feels like I'm forgetting somebody. I'm probably forgetting Correa because he's not going to be there. But if you can't get by on Yuli, Tucker, Yordan, Brantley, Bregman, and Altuve?
Listen, I think that if you added a center fielder in Marte that was a proven major league hitter, maybe you can get him for, I don't know, but you may get a proven major league hitter as opposed to a average run-of-the-mill. Listen, Jeremy Peña, he only had 37 games and 145 at-bats, but he had 942 OPS. He had 10 homers in 37 games, so in 21 RBIs. Jeremy Peña is a real prospect, is one of their top prospects. The catcher is the first, and he's their second. This Jeremy Peña might be ready. Jeremy Peña, maybe you're rushing him along a little bit quick, but if you put that bat in center field, and you put that and you brought up a young shortstop, he's more than likely your shortstop of the future. You know, if you get it started now with you fill that hole in the order where Peña and Maldonado, if Maldonado is back, which I think he will be, you fill that hole in the order with the shortstop as opposed to the center fielder. Now you've got 1 through 7, and you got 8 as Peña, who could turn out to be ready for the big league.
So listen, I mean, it's not like he's not talented. He's talented. He's 24 years old now.
It's about time.
In 2018... he was
not great
in an A short ball. Then he was on two teams in 19. He was in full season A and advanced A. 2020, there was no minor league baseball. And then 21, the Astros had him Round Rock, double A, and then the triple A as well, the Skeeters. So, I mean, in triple A baseball, he had an OPS of 944.
Yeah.
With the Skeeters, he had 10 home runs and 10 home runs and 122 at bats. I mean, 10 and 122 at bats, pretty.
That's right. Maldonado was signed already.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Maldonado was a free agent. He signed a 1-year deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going back something else. Okay. Yeah. But Peña, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Peña's numbers last year just for Astros minor league teams were very, very good. For Round Rock and for Sugar Land. Very, very good. I don't know from a defensive standpoint if he's going to give them what they're looking for right now. Just trying to look through some of the numbers right now on him, but it's that's going to be a big yeah. I mean, it was just very okay last year, but it is going to be a big part of the Astros' consideration at shortstop. I think is defensively, because Carlos is an elite defensive talent, and anybody you replace him with is going to be a noticeable step down. But you just don't want it to be too far. You don't want it to be where guys are on base instead of out. And that's going to happen this year. How many times do you think, in a given year, how many outs are going to turn into infield hits because Carlos Correa is not your shortstop anymore?
Infield hits that got, well, listen, Carlos that Correa has the best range hits that you'll see.
Seven?
Carlos,
is that low?
There might be more than that. Listen, Carlos made unbelievable plays, though. I mean, you're not
well, the asking, range, the arm,
the range and the arm, the throws from deep short. Yeah, if you're gonna, you can't compare anybody to Carlos Correa.
No, you can't, and that's what I'm saying. You don't want it, the drop off to be substantial, because there are going to be base runners where there once were none, where Carlos wiped out a base runner. And let's face it, Carlos is wiping out base runners.
He's the best defender in baseball.
I know.
So
I know.
I mean, you're gonna have to. Yeah. Is it gonna be a downgrade? Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. But you don't want it to be a drastic
downgrade. No, you don't. No, you don't. But
well, for a speculative hitter, you don't want that.
Apparently, Pena can play short. But if comparing him to Carlos Correa, that ain't gonna work.
No,
for
but Pena's name has been mentioned as, you know, the future at shortstop, and we'll see. We'll see if that's the case this year or not. I think they will. I think they have it as an option.
When we come back,
I'll bet you they have it as an option right now. Besides just free agency, I'll bet you Pena is one of the options.
Have you happened to watch this Zach Stacy video?
Former Rams,
yes,
running back,
and Jets?
No,
yeah,
that doesn't sound good.
It's one of the worst videos you'll ever see. I don't want to retweet it, but it is horrific. And Zach Stacy's in a lot of trouble.
Oh, no.
So, but first, you, my friend, you got to talk about a little bit of tequila.
Maestro Dobel. That's how we say it. And phenomenal product. It starts with having a great silver, which is what you see in a lot of cocktails. You'll see it in a lot of different bars. And they have an awesome silver. They also have a smoked silver, which is called Humito. They have a reposado, they have añejo, they have añejo extra, they have a charcoal filtered combination of the reposado and the two different añejos called the Diamante, and that's a Cristalino. And the Cristalino is a brand new type of I should say brand new. They created it, and everyone has followed suit now. It's a category for these tequilas. 11 generations of tequila makers are making Maestro Dobel, and so you know that you are going to get substantially better quality than many of the tequilas that are out there. Always made with 100% blue agave, this brand gives you so many different varietals that if you're a tequila fan, a true connoisseur, you are going to love one of the different Maestro Dobels you find. I definitely recommend you check out the Diamante, which is an amazing Cristalino. It's Maestro Dobel.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.